You're listening to WXZY 101.7 FM, Kane Community Radio. Hello, I'm Jim Gravel, and with us today we are fortunate to have Judge Cleland. The judge has been active in public health and safety for some time, and he's here today to share some of his research. Hi, Judge.
Glad to be here.
Judge Cleland, I understand you've been involved with working with public health issues for quite a while. Could you tell us about that?
Well, after 9/11, there was, you may recall, a number of white powder incidents in public buildings all around the country, and I suggested to our state court administrator that we ought to have a policy about how to handle that in courthouses, and he agreed and said, why don't you figure it out? So we put together a team of people to work out policies, and that eventually morphed into writing a bench book about public health law, because nobody knew anything about what public health law was in Pennsylvania. It hadn't been applicable for 50 or 75 years. And then that led us into the whole area of continuity of operations planning. What happens if there's some mass epidemic like we're going through now, and how do we maintain important public services, particularly the courts? So I've been working in these issues one way or another for almost 20 years.
In Kane, right now we're dealing with businesses being suspended, church services canceled, schools closed. Some call this unprecedented. Is this really unprecedented in Kane's history?
Well, no. You know, Jim, it's a wonderful question because no, it isn't. Going back to 1918, the great flu of 1918, Kane was dramatically affected by that. Businesses were closed, church services were canceled, no lodge meetings, all the bar rooms were closed in an effort to, by the Board of Health, to stem the infection and the scope of infection in the Kane community.
Why did the Board of Health do that?
Well, because they knew what they were doing. There were some very bright, capable people that served on that Board of Health, and they'd been watching developments around the country. The what's now known as the Spanish flu, probably a misnomer because it didn't start in Spain, but had been circulating since the spring of that year, ironically in March. But through the early fall, it began to spread a little more aggressively. And in Philadelphia, for example, there was a huge parade on September 28th, the Liberty Loan Parade. It was during the First World War. And there had been a small outbreak among some sailors at the Naval Yard, and the public health officials there had asked that the parade be canceled. And the city officials refused to do that, and it turned out to be a huge parade. Hundreds of thousands of people showed up. 2 days later, on October 1st, which would be about the time it would take people to get infected, it was reported that there were 635 people in Philadelphia reported to be ill. By the end of that month, October 30, 30 days later, those 635 people who were ill had turned into 11,000 people who had died. Now, what we're facing with today is an infection that can spread that fast. It won't necessarily kill that fast, but it'll certainly spread that fast. But the Kane Board of Health was certainly aware of this problem. And 2 days later, on October 2nd, the first case of flu was reported in Kane. And the very next day, October 3rd, the Kane Board of Health met and they closed theaters, all places of amusement, and all taverns. And the following Monday, October 7th, all public and parochial schools were closed. And that lasted for 6 months. No church services, no lodge meetings, no public gatherings. So the Board of Health was very proactive in trying to prevent the spread of flu in the community. And it was, in retrospect, effective. It was the thing to do.
What was it like in 1918? How did the community respond to that?
I'd like to say it was demonstrated the what it means to be a community, to cooperate, to sacrifice for the public good, to take care of our friends and neighbors. Because the flu is a very infectious disease, just like, or illness, just like the coronavirus is now. So by separating, by keeping apart from each other, we protect each other. Every sick person that on the coronavirus that we're dealing with now, similar to the flu of 1918, every sick person has the potential to infect two or possibly three other people. So if someone says, well, I don't care if I get sick myself, well, that may be, but they have the potential to infect two or three other people who may care very much about not getting sick.
So the Board of Health really gave the same advice that we're getting today. Wash your hands, cover your mouth when you cough, keep your distance, and stay at home when you're sick. Did it work, and was Kane a better place than other communities that didn't do this?
It did work, and Kane was a much better community than other places. As the year ended out, it was reported that there were about 561 cases in Kane. Now, it was probably higher than that, but that was the generally accepted number. And deaths were somewhere between 20 and 50, although it's hard to tell that because a certain number of people die during any given period anyway of things unrelated to the flu. But comparing it to, for example, St. Mary's, in which corrective public health action was delayed 2 weeks longer than happened in Kane, illnesses were in the thousands and deaths in the hundreds. And the same was true in Warren. So the impact of the work that the Board of Health did and the cooperation of the citizens of Kane was demonstrably useful in keeping the citizens as healthy as possibly could be, given the effect on other communities around the country and around the world.
Well, that's a lesson from Kane's history. What do you think we should expect today?
Well, it's hard to know what to expect. The circumstances are changing almost hourly. Last night, the governor, of course, closed so many businesses that are not life-sustaining. And that was something that we wouldn't have anticipated or planned for yesterday morning, for example. But there are representatives in the community that are meeting regularly in the health community, public safety, and local government to think about and plan and anticipate as best we can what is going to be happening here. The best that we can say is we don't know what's going to happen. None of us know. But we do know that this is a very serious illness. A lot of people are going to get sick, and a lot of people, or some people anyway, are going to get very sick. So we all have a joint responsibility to care for one another. We don't know what's coming. We can't forecast what lies ahead. But I think we can spread a message, and we can share an attitude. That same message that was given by the Kane Board of Health in 1918. Stay cool, be courageous, cooperate with your neighbors. So we'll prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and we'll keep the faith.
Sounds good. John, earlier this week, I talked to you about what role WXEY could play in helping the community. And since then, Mayor Brandy Schimpf has stepped up and is giving us daily updates on what's happening around Kane and keeping the support up for our community. Kate Kennedy from the Chamber of Commerce is giving us updates on a regular basis, and you've been so gracious to come in and speak to us on this. We certainly appreciate that.
Well, I can't compliment WXEY enough for willing to step up and participate in this way, because in any public emergency, particularly a public health emergency, getting accurate and timely information to the public is important, because then we can rely on the public to do the right thing. And so by giving a forum in which this opportunity can be shared, the radio station along with the Kane Republican and any other media outlets are doing a great public service. So thank you for what you all are doing as well.
Well, I thank you. For WXEY, this is Jim Greville and Judge Cleland. Cover your mouth when you cough, wash your hands, keep your distance, and if you're sick, stay home and stay in bed.